Praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is good, please shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Please let me take a minute or two to just do some greeting. First, I want to thank the good Lord who made today's meeting possible. If you told me a few months ago that I'll be in Abuja preaching at an SU convention, I would have known that you are a prophet, that is, flesh and blood couldn't have revealed that to you. And just like our chairman told us just now, he and I met for the first time this morning. In fact, what he didn't say is that we have never spoken until this morning. The only person that he spoke with is my God-appointed assistant, Ola Yinka, who has really been a great blessing to me in the work of this ministry. Just like the chairman mentioned, I work full-time in the university and the teaching hospital. So to still carry the ministry on is not going to be a one-man affair. So I have people who do a lot of things for me, and Yinka is one of them. So the first time I spoke with the chairman was this morning. That's when we saw face-to-face. Yinka just told me that, Oga, they wanted to come to Abuja. I said, who? He said, SU. I said, tell them we don't know any one of them, so we can't come. Of course, you don't go to where you don't know anybody. So I called my friend, a pastor in Sokoto. In fact, I just got on the phone speaking with him now. I said, do you know about SU Abuja? He said, sorry, he doesn't. So I told Yinka to please nicely decline that we are sorry we will not be able to come. And when he explained the reason, the chairman said, no problem. He sent people from Enugu to come and visit us. Oh, after that, Yinka said, Oga, I think we have to go. We have to go. That this one, we just have to go. I said, you think so? He said, yes. So we now agreed to be here this morning. And I believe very strongly that God is good. He has something planned, and that's why he allowed us to go through all these arrangements to be here this morning. If you believe that, say amen. So I want to thank our regional chairman. I want to thank everybody in the executive. So I really mean it. Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate it. I never take it lightly when I'm invited to go and speak the word of God. I mean, they didn't say, okay, you know, when people invite you to come and maybe you are doing book launching, and they said, come and donate money. You won't tell them thank you. It's your money they want. But when things like this, when you are called to come and impact the word of God to the people of God, you have to appreciate it. And I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much, sirs. And I thank everybody who has... you saw my name. I didn't run away. In fact, one of my students... where are you, Doc? I see him here. As soon as I saw, he was my student in University of... and I said, what? University of... Nigeria, Enugu campus. What are you doing around here? He said he saw my name on the poster and said, this is my lecturer. So he waited at the door to make sure that at least I have more faces that I recognize here. So I feel, although I felt safe from the beginning anyway, since I came yesterday, they've been trying to spoil me a little. So I've been enjoying myself. Thank you all very much, and I trust the Lord that you are going to be blessed this morning. I am very sure of that. I never go to places and people are not blessed. That's just the way it is. It is not because of my own strength. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace working towards me did not prove vain, in that I bless them more than everybody else. It is not I, but it is the grace of God working with me. So I tell you with all confidence that you are going to be blessed this morning in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's bow down our heads to say a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you. You said those who fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord heard it. So all the things I've been saying, Lord, you have been hearing. And we thank you for all of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone present here this morning, Lord, I ask that you give to such a one understanding heart. And I speaking, let me speak your word freely, your word alone, and not my own ideas in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let the thing that will turn our lives and our nation around in this season be revealed to us today in Jesus' name. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I'd like to just request you to follow me in a few things. I have some mannerisms. One of them is I'm in a place like this I have not been to before. I like to ask questions as I go on. So if I say amen, I want your response. Especially if I say amen. Amen is a question, really. There are two answers to it. The first one, the question comes in two ways. One, I hope you are following me. And the answer is what? Amen, if you are following. So if I say something, I say amen, and I don't hear any response, I assume you didn't understand. So I'm tempted to go over it all over again. So if it takes me, it took me 45 minutes to get there, I may take another 45 minutes to say it again. Anyway, that one's a joke. But the second thing is that if I say amen, amen, that means I'm asking, I hope you agree with me. In which case, you should say amen, whether you agree or not, because I'm the preacher for this morning. So, the Lord is good. So anytime I say amen, so whichever way, you say amen, unless you don't understand that you want me to go by it again. All right. So if I say praise the Lord, answer a very warm hallelujah, because that's my way of testing that you are there and you have not gone home. Because sometimes you are speaking, people, their bodies are there, but their spirits have gone home. So if I want to be sure that you are still with me, I will say praise the Lord, and then you answer me a very warm hallelujah. All right? All right, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. That means you understood me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's open our Bibles. Let's start from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. When I was given this thing to speak on, I was told to do my exposition in the book of 2 Peter. And I will confess to you, first of all, I'm not very good with teaching the Bible like that. I tend to take topics. So, and then if I decide to go line by line the book of 2 Peter, you are going to find out that we will need to extend this convention to like 3 weeks every day. So to make it easy for everybody, I decided to make a few. I went through the whole book, and prayerfully I considered the things that I believe are most important for us to note. I will give us a brief rundown of what is inside the book, and then I will pick 4 topics that I'm going to speak on in the sessions that I have. Now, I'm going to speak on 4 topics. Let me quickly tell you that, and I'll give you a rundown of the book. I'm going to talk, number 1, about the fulfillment of God's promises. That's my first topic. Number 2, I will talk about the power of grace, and that is the Word becoming flesh. That is, the Word of God becomes flesh. That's the second topic. Then the third topic, these are all taken from the book of 2 Peter. The third topic, I called it quickening the coming of the Lord, because you see later on that Peter said to us clearly that it is possible for us to quicken the coming of the day of the Lord. And then last of all, I'll talk about growth in grace. Now, this is what I plan. There's no guarantee I'll follow it like that. Why? Because as I begin to speak, if the Holy Spirit moves me slightly differently, if I spend too much time on one, I want to finish it. But if I can, I'll finish the 4, and those are the 4 different topics. So this morning, I'm going to start talking, first of all, about fulfillment of God's promises. And before we read, let me just give us a summary of what Peter was writing about. Now, first of all, we all know of the person, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, and who at this point was an elder in the church. And after reading through the whole book, I found out what he was doing was to try to strengthen the faith of people, specifically at such a time that they were in at that time. In fact, I was reading the address of our regional chairman in our bulletin. That's the camp newsletter, the bulletin. And I found out that he said that if he had his way, he would have chosen the topic in times like this. And therefore, he said, let us modify the topic, the theme of this convention to the Christian and his, conduct in times like this. And for me, that was quite interesting because I am the president of my alumni fellowship, Light of Christ Community Alumni Fellowship, that's from in Benin, because I graduated from the University of Benin. And we hold our convention every year in around May 1st, just the weekend around May 1st. And our last one was titled In Times Like This. So when I read that, I said, oh, that is very good. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to know in this season. That was just a few months ago. And that was the topic we chose. So when I heard that, I said, oh, this is very apt. Because what happened when Peter was writing was that there were also times, difficult times, that had come upon the people of God. And he wrote to encourage the people in their faith. You'll see a number of things. He explained to them that, one, the promises of God are there. They are available for us to go through rough times. That he said it will appear as a light shining out of darkness. He said that's what prophecies are. That prophecies were given. If you go read that 1 Peter chapter, we'll read all of it or some of it as we go on, but let me just refer to this quickly. He said in verse 19 of chapter 1, he said, and we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises rises in your heart. What it was saying is that life has seasons, life has periods. And there was a season the people were in, and there was a dark season. And it said right ahead, after this dark season, you are going to see a season in which the light will shine and the day will dawn. He said, now, what will happen, all right, two things. One, for you to keep firm throughout that dark season, you need to hold on to the prophetic word. That prophetic word is what starts as light. That is when the prophetic word that is a light guiding you in the dark place, when it has become fully manifested, that your day will dawn. What am I saying? That is, if you have difficult times in life, God has given a word of God to you to hold you throughout that season. In fact, if you read into that chapter 2, Peter went on to explain that judgment will come upon the earth. That is, there was a time that judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a time that judgment came even before that time, the days of Lot. He said, in all of this, you see, God was careful to make sure that his own people were preserved. So Peter, what was he doing? He was encouraging the people of God that there may be bombings by Boko Haram. There may be economic difficulty worldwide. Look carefully. You will find a prophetic word that is sure that will keep your soul firm throughout this season. He said there is no reason to lose faith. There is no reason to give up on the work of the Christian. He said the only problem, now listen to this, that's the next thing Peter was saying. The only problem the body of Christ has, he said, were false teachers. He said under the Old Testament, they had false prophets. That under the New Testament, the affliction is false teachers. If you read it, he said it very clearly in verse 1 of chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers amongst you. In Israel, the problem was false prophets. You will see Jeremiah will stand and people will be prophesying. Jeremiah put a yoke upon his neck and somebody took the yoke and broke it and said in 2 years, the yoke will be broken. And Jeremiah said, listen to me. God said, if you break the yoke of wood, I will replace it with the yoke of iron. Listen, I'm going to send you into captivity. This was the word of prophecy for difficult times. Please follow me very carefully. This was a word of prophecy for their own difficult time. They were going to be afflicted. Jeremiah said, if you want to be preserved, do one thing. Follow the king of Babylon into exile. Jeremiah said, if you don't want to die, do one thing. This was the word of prophecy. Follow the king of Babylon into exile. He said, when you get there, don't be deceived that in 2 years, you will be recovered. He said, no, you are going to be there for 70 years. He said, so this is what you are going to do. You will buy land. You will settle down. You will start farming. He said, know that 70 years, you will be here. Let your sons marry. Give your daughters in marriage. He said, pray for the prosperity of Babylon, that place where I'm sending you into exile. Because in his prosperity, you will have prosperity. Pray for the peace of that land. This was a prophetic word that in this season of affliction, stay there, get ready for 70 years. But those who died, listen to what happened. They came and said, God is going to break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So they broke the wooden yoke that Jeremiah had around his neck. And Jeremiah said, God said, I should tell you, break the wooden one, I will replace it with an iron one. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. God was careful to preserve the people. But those who died because they listened to false prophets. There was a time after the affliction had become very strong. Jeremiah was left behind in the land with the people that they first left round one. That's after the round one affliction. So they said, what do we do? They came to Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah said, this is the word of the Lord this time around. Now, don't go anywhere. Stay in the land. Be the remnant. Then those people refused. So one of them said, listen, what we need is deliverance. Deliverance from by the hand of the king of Egypt. That was Pharaoh. So they packed their things and ran down to Egypt. And because of them, listen, because of them, God sent Nebuchadnezzar to Egypt. There he conquered the king of Egypt and specifically sought out the Jews that came there and killed all of them. That is, the deliverance was in hidden to the prophetic word that Jeremiah was issuing forth. But the problem was people listened to false prophets. And Peter said, in these our times, our own problem is not false prophets, but false teachers. Therefore, if you want to be safe, he said, take heed to your doctrine. Therefore, if you want to be preserved, be careful that you understand the true word of God that is coming forth. If you watch, let's be frank, if you watch TV, what we call Christian TV today, you wonder what the people are preaching. If you watch, a lot of times, I still watched a program a few days ago, the man said he has a special word. At the end of the day, to receive that special anointing, I needed to send $121. I laughed. I said, so this special anointing needs me to pay something first. All right, I will pass on the anointing. Thank you very much. I'll look for another anointing. Now, what I'm saying is that Peter said our problem these days will be what? False teachers. And let me say, Nigeria has it has a problem right now, which let's be careful with the teachings we hear. Now, I read the addresses inside our bulletin, and the issue, the security challenges in Nigeria as at now was highlighted, and they are factual matters. We can see them. But how we respond, we must be careful. We must be very careful. I've listened to a lot of people respond, and I call them political preachers. Once a man organized a program in Enugu, he called it an Eastern Nigerian prophetic mandate. So I went there. I like to hear the word of God. And by the time he finished preaching, I said, this is an Eastern Nigeria political mandate. I got up and left the place. Because, you see, you must understand that in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Hausa or Yoruba or Fulani or Kanuri or Urobo or what is South, whatever it is. He said there's only one thing in Christ Jesus, and that is faith in Christ Jesus. We are all of one Father. We are all of one tribe. I say something all the time when I have to teach on marriage matters. I said jokingly, but it contains facts in it. I said, I'm from Ondo State. My wife is from Delta State. My children are from Enugu State. Now, that's a joke in it. Because they were essentially born in Enugu State. Though, physically, they were born in Edo State. But my wife just goes to stay with her mother when she's going to deliver. That's why they are born in Edo. But after a week or two, they come back home. I said, these are Enugu children. Born of a father that's from Ondo State and a mother that's from Delta State. Now, and listen, that's the reality. Then people ask me, when my brother was going to get married, my younger brother, he's also from Ondo State, but his wife is from Imo State, and his children are from Lagos State. Now, that is the situation. And then my mother and I were discussing, he wants to marry, and he wants to marry a girl called Amarachi. And I said, what do I think? So I looked at my mother. I said, we're either Christians or we are not. And that's the end of the discussion. You should have asked me, that she a good girl? She truly a Christian? I said, that's what I will hear. But this one of you want me to carry on my logo? Imo State. Now, don't bother going. I will go. You understand what I'm saying? Because in Christ Jesus, there are things that are very important. Now, so sometimes when we speak as Christians, we must not do what the Bible calls in Isaiah chapter 2, soothsaying like Philistines. He said, when you soothsay like the Philistine, what God does is to abandon his people. Don't respond to situations just because of how you feel or where you are from. The Bible says that Christ Jesus was never going to judge according to the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but he was going to judge with righteous judgment. That is, what do I mean by righteous judgment? People must study the word of God first and pray and let the anointing of God speak concerning what is happening. And not just for those of us who are really far down south. Those of you up north, you may not hear this a lot. Maybe you do. They say, we are going to divide it. I said, through here. Draw the boundary for me. Let me see. Who is the we that's going to divide it? I said, you are sitting down here in your secure zone down here. And you are telling me, we are going to divide it. Who asked your opinion? Who told you they are going to give you scissors? Are you getting my point? That tell me where. Listen, Christians, we are different. We are what the Bible calls, he said, he suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Now, he said that concerning Abraham. He said that concerning Isaac. He said that concerning Jacob and his children and the people of Israel. Were they all prophets in the way we understand prophecies today? No, they were not. But he called them his prophets. Not everybody is a prophet of God. But he said, these are my prophets. Who are prophets? These are the people that God shapes the events of the earth around. Now, what I want to bring out is the fact that he called them prophets. What are prophecies? Prophecies are not predictions, but they are the instruments, the weapons of war, which is the revealed will of God by which we shape things that will come to pass later. Are you getting my point? Now, what are predictions? Prediction is that 1 + 1 = 2. But what is a prophecy? A prophecy can look at one and say, I will add you up and you will still be one.
I don't know whether you get my point. That is, he determines the new equation formula. He does not respond to the one that human beings have written. That's what a real prophecy is. That is, if my favorite scripture there is Isaiah chapter 34. It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail, nor will anyone lack its mate. Even though it is not natural what I'm describing. He said, but once I speak it, once the mouth of the Lord utters it, his spirit will go out and we gather. Instead of Christians sitting down and saying, we are going to cut it, we are going to do this. What we are supposed to do is operate like prophets and face a direction and say, this is the word of the Lord. God said, I am the one that make wars cease. We command wars to cease. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. That's what we should be saying. Instead of gathering together and say, give me Caesar, we are dividing what? What am I saying? False teachers. I've been to a church before, a man came, big man. In fact, my friend is part of the church, so he said, our bigger guy is coming. So I went to honor my friend by staying with him that day. And the man said, this thing you call the nation, who told you that it was created by God? I was listening to him. He said, have you ever seen a nation that people did not gather together? And he was talking and talking and talking and talking. And they said it was created by Lord Lugard. I said, don't you read the scriptures? Do you believe the word of God in patches or you believe the whole thing? That he said, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. That God sets the boundaries for the nations, not human beings. The Bible said the problem today will be what? False teachers. Israel had false prophets that killed them. What will destroy nations, what will destroy the church of God today is false teachers. So Peter was writing about them and he pronounced judgment upon those false teachers also. I'm giving a summary of the book of Peter. At the end of the day, he said one thing which I will discuss in details. That there's what he called, that Peter, one of the things that the false teachers used to teach is that they will say that they say it will happen, yet it has not happened. Peter now said, listen, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He said, but that day is delayed because God does not want people to perish, but he wants them to come to repentance. He now said simply, in effect, that if you want the day of the Lord to come quickly, there are things you do to hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. What am I trying to explain here? God is not slow concerning his promises. He's not slow. There are things Christians are supposed to do in their words and in their conduct, in their prayers, that will bring to reality the prophecies and the desires of the people of God. And that's what Peter was saying. And he ended it by saying, don't fall from your own steadfastness, all right? Following the errors of these wicked or these false teachers. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said in the last line, to him be the glory both now and forever. Now that is the summary of what happened in why Peter wrote that letter. People were going through difficult times. He said, look, the anchor is the word of God. The anchor is the word of God. The only danger in Christianity is false teaching. Beyond that, nothing can shake this body of Christ. Listen to me. Beyond that, nothing can shake this body of Christ. If they are planted in a nation, the nation is sustained because of them. He said the only danger is false teachers. That is a summary, the way I understand it, of that second letter of Peter. The Lord is good. Now, if you understood me, please say amen. All right, now let's take the first of the topics. Like I said, I will talk about the fulfillment of God's promises. And for that, I will start reading from chapter 1 and we'll stop in verse 11, from verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Please, I'm reading the New King James Version. He said, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. If all these things are yours and they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the portion I want to read to develop what I want to say in the few minutes I have left. And my emphasis is from that verse 2. It said, from verse 3. As his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, he said, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Please, I want to explain something about, I said I'm titling my first term teaching, The Fulfillment of God's Promises. The Lord is good, amen?
Amen.
Now, one thing I want to say to us is that God knows everything, we know that. And he has a plan concerning every situation. Now, his plan is what the Bible calls the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. In every challenge, every adversity we have in life, God already spoke a word about the outcome. Now, I was saying something earlier, that prophecies, let me quickly explain that. Prophecies, sometimes they appear like they are not being fulfilled. There's one word that came to pass, that happened in Nigeria many years ago. How many of us know Pastor Mdee Bakare? He tried for a political office. All right, but it didn't work out. Praise God, it did not. Amen. The reason is that the man is a true prophet. All right, some people may not believe it. Look, let me just say it to you. When you're seeing someone like Pastor Mdee Bakare, don't judge his political opinions. Don't listen to him at all. He starts talking, I'm going to contest. He says, is he good? See, I don't know. It doesn't concern me. Will you vote for him? Of course not. Why should I vote for him? I'm certainly not going to vote for him. Not because of the person he's contesting with, but because I want to make sure under God that he does not win. Amen? That's my personal opinion. Amen? Uh-huh. I think he should go back and be prophesying. Amen? It's my personal opinion. Many years ago, he prophesied when President Obasanjo was going to take office. And it was a serious prophecy. I didn't hear it directly, but the implication was simple. As if the man was going to die and he was not going to take office. And I didn't hear it directly, but that was the implication. I don't know the details. But something happened. When President Obasanjo took office, he had a Thanksgiving service, and all the, in quotes now, big men of God were sitting behind him. And when it was his time to speak, after the service had gotten into a swing and people had prayed and all of that, they gave him a microphone to speak. And he turned to the men of God like this. He said, there are false prophets amongst you. As God in heaven lives, right there and there I began to pray for him. Because that statement could kill. Be careful with God. Don't play with him. A prophet said, tomorrow, that you will find that two bowls of rice will go for 50 kobo. One man laughed. That even God will open the windows of heaven. Such things, can they happen? And the prophet looked at him and said, there's no problem. It will happen. The only thing is that you will see it, but you won't taste it. It happened like the prophet said, and the man was put in charge of maintaining order. And the people tripped over him, he fell, they trampled him to death. He saw it, did not eat of it. You don't play with the words of prophets. Now, there's a reason I'm saying that. Immediately I began to pray for him, I asked that the Lord would spare his life. I asked the Lord to understand that his ignorance was a problem. And intercessions like that are important. Let me just really drop that again for us as Christians. There are a lot of things people say, hey, Brother Jonathan, they start talking. I said, that there are things you don't do as a Christian. You don't commit sin with your mouth. You understand? If your president does something bad, pray for him that God will undo the bad that he did. Don't confirm the evil upon him. Because you are the prophet of God. Say, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Generally, as a body of people, we are the prophets of God. If we speak to a man continually that you will not do well, he will not have the capacity to do well. It is not whether he wants to do well or not. In fact, you know, I still remember somebody told me the election of M.K. Abiola was not annulled by Babangida. It was annulled by Christians who said they would never agree. They gathered to pray and said, that man, you will never rule Nigeria for what you did in the times of OIC. Babangida did not know what he was doing. Let's be careful. Now, let me get back to the issue of Tunde Bakare. So when he said that thing, I was just saying that I laughed. I said, this is not right. Don't say that. He's not a false prophet because he said something didn't come to pass. Because the man Jonah, when God sent him to go to Nineveh and go and prophesy, the reason why he refused to go was not because he was afraid of the people of Nineveh. It was because God had embarrassed him several times before. He will say something. He will say, 40 days hence, Nineveh will be destroyed. And 60 days will pass, Nineveh will be flourishing. It was an embarrassment. So the next time they gave him the assignment, this time around specifically for Nineveh, he refused to go. How do I know that? When 40 days passed and Nineveh was not destroyed, he said, was this not what I said when I was still in my own house? That you will make me say a thing. I will put my integrity, my ministry, my name on it. Then it will not come to pass. And the elected president will call me a false prophet amongst my peers. Why? The story of Jonah teaches us something. Prophecies can be mitigated. If God prophesies destruction upon the people, and they do what the people of Nineveh did, you understand? And they repent. God said that we relent. The only problem with the prophets is that sometimes they are not even allowed what to say fully. That is, just go and say, 40 days you will be destroyed. Don't say anything more than that. And if God had allowed him to say, 40 days you will be destroyed unless you repent, see, that would have been nice. Sometimes the word is called a word of knowledge. Just a word. A small fragment. Given to him, the man utters it. They didn't allow him to understand the fact that there are some factors that might mitigate the fulfillment of this prophecy. That's why his flesh revolted and said, I know they go. But when God compelled him to go, he went and said, this was why I did not want to go. But that's the lesson I want to bring from it is this, all right? When God issues forth a word, there are things that are implicit in the doctrine of prophecy. That is, if God gives a promise, there are times the promise does not come to pass also. That one was judgment. There are times a blessing. And the blessing doesn't come to pass. He says, is it because the man says the prophesying did not know what he was saying? God said, no. He said directly to Eli. If you go and read that first Samuel, I think chapter 1. He said, did I not say to you, chapter 2. He said, I said to you that your father's house and your descendants will be priests before me forever. He said, but now I have changed my mind. Now, why did he change his mind? He said, because anyone who honors me, I will honor. What does that tell you? Fulfillment of the prophecies of blessings are tied to the continual honoring of God. A man does not honor God, hear the word directly from God's mouth, he won't benefit from it. He said, the word preached did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. That is, God can say something, you heard it directly. It is not whether you heard it or not that matters. Whether what it is mixed with when it gets into your heart that decides whether you will get the fulfillment of that prophecy or you won't. The way I like to explain it, quickly open your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 18. I'm talking about the fulfillment of God's promises. God called Abraham. I did this teaching some time ago. I titled it Following the Lord Fully. What I want to explain to us this morning. God called Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, you know the story of Abraham and all of that. But in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord came to his house, you know, on the way to Sodom. What I want to bring out for us is just one thought there, one one portion. From verse 16, he said, the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. The Lord, one of the men now, said, and the Lord said, verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He said, I have known him, or I have chosen him, in order that he may command. Now, please notice that too. Why did I choose him? Why did I create a relationship with him? He says, so that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Now, that's what I want, that verse 19. That is, I have promised Abraham certain issues. I said his descendants will be a great and mighty nation. His descendant in his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He said, but I chose Abraham for a particular reason. There are many men on the earth. One reason why I chose Abraham is that such promises are tied to certain things. That Abraham will command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. He said, when they do that, they do righteousness and justice, then the Lord will be able to fulfill the promise that he gave to Abraham. Did you notice it in there? That is, Abraham, his descendants, even though God gave them a promise, the fulfillment of it is tied to the descendants learning to do righteousness and justice. They don't learn righteousness, they don't learn justice, and they don't do these things, what will happen is that the promise of God over their heads will be there forever. It will not be fulfilled. It will appear as if it was given by a false prophet. No, it was not given by a false prophet. It is just that the vessels it was given to, they were not worthy of its fulfillment. So that when God spoke to the house of Eli, Eli did not train his children. God said, how come you have honored your children more than me? The children were priests in Israel. You know, I keep on saying it. People of God understand. Nigeria's problem is not PDP. Nigeria's problem is not the politicians. Nigeria's problem is the people of God. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You know, there's another scripture. Jesus said, the eye is the eye of the body. The eye is the light of the body. I just said that wrongly. He then said, if your light becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? He said, the church is the light of the nation. If that light becomes darkness, how terrible the situation of that nation. Do you understand why I'm tying it there? Listen, God's problem every time is his people, not the people outside. The righteousness amongst his people, it works like this. A time came Jeremiah arose to prophesy. He wasn't talking to anybody. He just finished prophesying. Somebody collapsed beside him and died. And Jeremiah immediately understood that that man's death was related, all right, to the issuing of his prophecy. In fact, he ran home and began to cry. That you want to kill everybody? God said, no, be the prophesy. That you will rise up and say, it shall come to pass that the nation shall be a delightsome land. And somebody will collapse and die. You have not killed anybody by, you know, shooting somebody or saying, hey, some assault, scatter, my enemies. You know, that's the preoccupation of Christians that Satan has taught them. They wake up in the morning, oh, my enemies, you will die, you will die, you will die. It's joblessness. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, when people don't have things to do, they spend all their time attacking their imaginary enemies, which, by the way, is just an African problem. You understand my point? Yes, you know, everything that does an African, somebody's responsible. If a man is going, he falls down. Instead of saying that, hey, I didn't see that thing. All those who are saying that will fall down. You back to saying that. You know that it's an African. He's not yet enlightened in his mind. Everything is somebody, you understand? Now, without praying any prayer to kill, You prophesy, any man sustaining evil in the land will die.